right now is Dr. Patrick Risch. Dr. Risch, how are you?
Morning, guys.
Good morning. You know, morning, Dr. Risch, talk about the Forbes.com angle of this Dodger-Red Sox blockbuster. Dodgers-Red Sox nine-player deal. What it did, and perception-wise, it told the fans that this Dodger ownership group will spend money to win.
Well, there's no question, guys. If you look at some of the local television media deals that have been sprung, for instance, the Angels stole my Albert Pujols from St. Louis here, as we're speaking from this morning. Obviously, the Texas Rangers, they have a relatively new television deal as well. So this is kind of the wave of the future. And, of course, the Los Angeles Lakers with the new Time Warner Cable, part of the reason why they're able to go out and spend some of the money that they're spending is the expectation of future local TV money. And that's exactly what's going on in L.A. with the Dodgers.
Well, Magic and his group have been kind of true to their words, Dr. Risch, that they're going to spend to get a winner.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, as you say, Artrell, it's not just a combination of Magic's infectious passion and enthusiasm for success. It's not just Stan Kasten, the baseball mastermind that previously had success in Atlanta and Washington, and it's not just the money that Mark Walters is willing to spend that he currently has. But you know, I'm seeing estimates from a company called Desser Sports Group that's estimating that because of the competition for the Dodgers media rights, whether it's going to be Fox, whether it's going to be Time Warner Cable, or whether they're going to start their own network, you're talking about a 20-year deal that could generate anywhere from $200 to $400 million a year in revenue. So that makes these expenditures that they're making right now seem like a drop in the ocean.
Well, Dr. Risch, you just hit on something right now, because in business you really need to spend money to make money. The Dodgers need to increase their revenue stream. You mentioned that starting their own network. The Yankees have the S Network. Is that a possibility that the Dodgers might go in that direction to start their own in-house network?
It's certainly something that they could consider. I think that, again, looking at the estimates that I've seen, there's greater upside. Now, there's greater risk as well. They point out in the article that I'm mentioning from Desser that there are some teams like Minnesota and Kansas City that started their own networks and didn't see a lot of success. But, guys, we all know that Los Angeles looks a hell of a lot more like New York and Boston than they do like Minnesota and Kansas City. So, obviously, with the YES Network in New York, with NESN, New England Sports Network in Boston, I think that the Dodgers, if they decide to go that route, again, that's their most potentially lucrative route, where you could generate $400 million a year from media rights, and that could be close to $8.5 billion over a 20-year period. So I think that part of the reason they're making these deals is not only to win and not only to appease their fans, which, you know, what a drastic change from the Frank McCourt era, but they are trying to load up and trying to make their assets as valuable as possible so that when they do put those rights on the market, they're going to hopefully fetch a larger fee.
Dr. Patrick Risch here, Forbes.com contributor and director of Sports Impact. Let me ask you a question about the Rockies. You know, is it fair for a team like the Rockies, who are trying to rebuild, that they can't throw cash around like the Dodgers can?
Well, this is one of the problems that I've always had with baseball is, you know, the luxury tax is not really very successful or efficient in cost containment, Artrell. And as you mentioned, you look at the other sports. Every other sport now has a salary cap. And unfortunately, with baseball system and for teams like the Rockies, it makes it more complicated, because if you cannot generate a local media revenue deal that generates the kind of money that the big market teams can generate, then you are behind the eight ball. So unfortunately, for those of us that want to see maybe more competitive balance in baseball, you're not going to see a salary cap anytime soon, because they just signed a new collective bargaining agreement. But I would hope, as a fan of the sport and someone that wants to see greater efficiency, I would love to see in that next agreement a collective bargaining agreement that has a salary cap.
Dr. Risch, I want to talk about Lance Armstrong for a second. He dropped his fight against doping charges on Thursday, which means he will be stripped of his 7 Tour de France titles. How bad are the financial repercussions now for Lance Armstrong?
Well, first of all, he's going to have to pay back somewhere between $6 to $8 million in prize winnings. More significantly, of course, is his future as a product endorser has been severely damaged. I have no doubt that companies like Nike will stay by him. Nike, of course, has a reputation for staying by their men. Go see the Tiger Woods era on that chapter. But it's very interesting that there are some similarities between Paterno and Lance Armstrong in this respect. After Paterno got fired, Penn State alumni donations actually increased last year because so many people were coming out with support of this man who made so many contributions over the years to the university. Now, you look at Lance Armstrong, obviously, the conundrum is that Lance Armstrong shouldn't have cheated if he did, but if he wasn't a seven-time consecutive Tour de France winner, would he have generated $500 million over the years in cancer research, which has saved numerous lives, obviously. So, a very interesting conundrum, and what just some data that I saw last week is actually in the short term, the contributions to the Live Strong Foundation have actually increased. So you see a similarity there between supporting Joe Pa in the aftermath of that scandal and support for Lance Armstrong in the aftermath of this one.
So, Doctor, you're saying in the long term, it really helps Lance Armstrong that he didn't really admit using PEDs. He just kind of gave the fight, but this helps his future endorsement deals in some odd way.
No. I'm not saying that it's going to help. It's going to hurt his ability. I don't see any new companies wanting to come forward to sign Lance Armstrong to an endorsement deal because they don't want to be affiliated with PED or steroid use. There's a decade worth of data from other athletes that show that companies don't want that affiliation. So, but what I am saying is I'm saying that there may be a company or two that's currently with him, like Nike, that may stay with him just because of the impact that he has had with Nike. But in addition to that, I do think that in the short term, the donations to the Live Strong Foundation, and there's evidence already to this effect, will go up because, you know, it's a little bit different. Barry Bonds, okay, no one really ever liked Barry Bonds. He never came off as a likable guy. And so this is the reason why people kind of jumped off his bandwagon really quickly when he was involved with PEDs. But again, Lance Armstrong is a cancer survivor. There will be people out there, especially those touched by cancer, that will give him a pass forever. So it will hurt his endorsement potential and probably, diminish it significantly. But in terms of his Live Strong Foundation, I do see that some people out there will still continue to contribute and support this people that some still see as a hero.
That sounds great. Dr. Risch, it's been a pleasure. You gave us some eye-openers right here, which we had not known before. We appreciate your time with us this morning, and thank you so very much.
Thanks, Doc.
Look forward to doing it again, guys. Thank you.